All right, we're going to try this one more time. There's no guarantee this is not going to be the last time, but we're going to try these slides again. Some of you have different ones have suggested that it's helpful. I don't like them. I don't like to use them, but I'm going to try it today, okay? So let's give it a shot. We are sometimes challenged with the question, is it wrong or is it okay? Sometimes we're challenged by someone we're talking to. It may be a doctrinal topic, like whether or not we should have instrumental music in the assembly. It may be a moral topic, like how should people dress or what kind of entertainment is not appropriate for Christians. It may be a family question. But how do you answer the question? Is it wrong or is it okay? What we're going to suggest this morning is a simple, easy, straightforward approach. Not that it's the only approach. That's not what we're suggesting. But it's something you can remember. And it's biblical. Because it dealt with an issue with this very question. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. We'll start reading here in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things?" Now, I introduced our study with, is it right or is it wrong? Where does that occur in the text? It's right there in the verse I just read. By what authority? That's exactly what the word authority means. Who gave you the right to be in here in the temple teaching? So it is a question. Is it right or is it wrong for you to be doing what you're doing? Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things." The baptism of John. So here's a religious teaching and practice of their day. The baptism of John, he said, was from what source? From heaven or from men? Now that's how Jesus responded. He gave two alternatives for this religious belief and practice, the baptism of John. Is it from heaven or from men? And the people began reasoning within themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to them, or say to us, then why did you not believe us? Or believe him, believe John. But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they all regard John to be a prophet. And they decided not to answer the question. And so, if we say from heaven, so what? The so what is, when you say it's from heaven, you are saying it's from God. If you say it's from man, you're saying that this teaching or practice is not through one of God's prophets. If we say from man, we fear the people, for they hold John to be a prophet. Where does the role of the prophet get in all of this? We're asking, is it right or is it wrong? Look at Deuteronomy 18, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Here's a sermon Moses was preaching. And they were going to go into another land. And Moses is warning them about how they would go about answering this kind of question. Is it right or is it wrong? Look, he said, when you enter the land, the land which the Lord your God gives to you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of those nations. Stop with me a moment. Where would they learn to practice idolatry, that it was okay? By looking around what others were doing. He said, no, that's not the way you do it. You don't learn by imitating what the people around you are doing. He said, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, one who practices divination, and he lists a number of other things. But when you come down to verse 15, he said, the Lord your God, here, instead of all of those practices that people appeal to for direction, he said, here's how you find out your direction. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your countrymen. You shall listen to him. So like me. Moses is preaching. He's a different preacher than any preacher today at this point, because he is being guided in what he's preaching by the Holy Spirit. He is a prophet. And they're expected to listen to what he says because he is God's prophet. Go down a little bit further in the text. In verse 18, I will raise up a prophet from among your countrymen like you. God told Moses this. And he said, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So that's what a prophet is, right there. God puts his words in his mouth. Stop with me a moment. Suppose you're not alive or at the place where the prophet is speaking. Now what? If the words God put in the prophet's, not mouth, but in his pen, in what he wrote down, would it be not the same idea? So I'll put my words in his mouth. Then what's your obligation? Verse 19, it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So that's the so what. From heaven, through God's prophet, God expected that to be the way that they would decide in this land in which they went what was the right way to live. This is how they would seek direction for their lives and know the right thing from the wrong thing to do. Now go over to Luke chapter 16 and verse 31. So that's Moses, about 1500 B.C. The next 1500 years, you have the nation that was built upon the teaching and the writing of Moses, those first five books. We know it as the Israelite nation. At the time Jesus is speaking here in Luke 16, they are still under that law. That law given at Mount Sinai through Moses. We have a condition in Luke 16 of two men who died. One man is in a place of comfort. One man is in a place of torment. One man did right, one man did wrong. One man made good choices, one man made bad choices with terrible consequences. The man who made the bad choices and is in torment pled that somebody be sent back to earth to warn his brothers. I got brothers back on earth. Warn them so they don't come to this place. So his thinking was, somebody will go here and tell his brothers, you're living wrong. What you're doing is not right. But, verse 31, he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets. Isn't that what we just read in Deuteronomy 18? If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead. That was the means for 1,500 years with God's chosen people that he expected them to reach that decision, that answer that question. Is it right or wrong? Is it from heaven or from men? By listening to the prophets, God's prophets, that he sent and approved of. Now, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 20. So, they had the Old Testament or covenant, as it's called, even in the Bible. And in your Bibles, you'll have that kind of heading on the Old Testament. In Luke chapter 22 and verse 20, toward the end of Christ's life, he's with his chosen disciples, the apostles. He's instituted this memorial that we just partook of a moment ago. And he gives them the fruit of the vine. And they take it. And look what he says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 20. This cup is poured out, which is poured out for you is the new covenant. So there was an old covenant. Our Bible's called it Testament, maybe on a title page, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as we understand the concept. But now here's a new testament or a new covenant. Look what he says, in my blood. In connection with my death. My death will ratify, make valid this new covenant. This new covenant provided forgiveness of sins, and where the forgiveness of sins were offered, there had to be shedding of blood or death. He said, I'm the one that will die to ratify this new arrangement that God will make with man. And so while those people that we read about in Luke 16:31 and way back in Deuteronomy, they were to walk by the old covenant, Christ said there's going to be a change. There's going to be a new covenant. That doesn't mean that people today still can't learn from the old covenant about God and a number of things about his will for mankind. But there is a new covenant that's in place for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, the letter to the Hebrews is written to people, as you see by the title, who their ancestry would be traced back to that nation. And their daddies and granddaddies and great-granddaddies and going back, they lived under that law. Now these people had heard the new covenant and became Christians. But because of difficulties, persecution, and other problems, they were some, in fact, had already begun the departure from assembling with the saints and being identified with Christ and holding on to the hope that Christ made possible. And so he warns them here in the text that we're talking about in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. anyone who set aside the law of Moses. Now, how did you set aside the law of Moses? Here's what he wrote. You didn't have to be there when he was preaching. It was written down. If you didn't pay it attention and you didn't follow it, it was not your criteria for determining the right way to live. Anyone who sets aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's the old covenant. But watch the next verse. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified, and has insulted the Spirit of grace, the blood that ratified the new covenant? And this new covenant was given through the power and wisdom and grace and love of the Holy Spirit. So just as people under the old covenant had to respect their written record of what was right and wrong or suffer punishment, we determine right and wrong, what's from heaven or from men, not only by studying that, but by considering the new covenant of our Lord and Savior, ratified by His blood. And there have been some changes made in the old and the new. We're not going to take time to look at that, but He deals with that back in chapter 9, verse 1. They had regulations of worship we don't have today. That was written in their covenant. It was the right way to worship. It's different today from those particular regulations. But the question is it from heaven or from men, was decided by Scripture, by what was written. All right? Now, see, that's why I don't like to lose a chart. I'm way behind. That's why I don't like these slides. All right. So now let's move on. We're talking about Scripture. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 16, verse 31 again. You say, we just read that. Yes, we did. We just read that. But I want to look at something else in it. They, at the time Jesus lived, he said they have Moses and the prophets. He didn't say they had Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. They're dead. Here's what they had. The Old Testament. Scriptures. The word Scripture means that which is written. That's what they had. And Jesus made it the responsibility to those brothers back on earth. Don't wait for somebody to come back from the dead. Get your Bible open and read the Scriptures. That's how you can know if it's from heaven, God, or from men. So, in the New Testament, that explains why, and I've only put a few of the many verses that could be consulted to show this same concept with those who live under that new covenant ratified by Christ's blood. Here's Ephesians chapter 3, written by a prophet, God's prophet, who also was an apostle. Not all prophets were apostles. All apostles were prophets. And so in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2, he said, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship, that's something entrusted to you, the stewardship of God's grace, which has been given to me, not to the Ephesians, to Paul, for you. Something was entrusted to Paul for the benefit of the Ephesian Christians, for you. What is it? That by revelation, there was made known to me, not to you, to me, the mystery. And he said, as I wrote before in brief, what would you call what he wrote? Scriptures. And he said, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Then he said in verse 5, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his, here we have it, his holy apostles and prophets. How? In the Spirit. In the Spirit. And so, the Ephesian Christians, go over to chapter 4, he starts talking about how they're to walk. Walk is a conduct, a way of life. So, is it right? Is it okay to become a Christian, be baptized into Christ, and just kind of stay there? You know the verses on repent, confess, and be baptized, and you don't know a whole lot more, not really zealous to learn and grow and be able to teach others. I'm just there. Is that okay? Somebody ask you, what's your answer? I know what Jesus said. Is it from heaven or from men? So here, he talked to them about their conduct and a prophet of God. And he said that God, verse 11 and 12, left some gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what purpose? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. For the building up of the body of Christ, to the building up of the body of Christ. Equipping saints for the work of service, building up the body of Christ till we all reach that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to tell you what, folks, the idea of getting on the bandwagon, I got the right bus, I got baptized, I'm okay, but I don't do anything, but I'm going to heaven because I got wet. That's not from heaven. That's from men. Not because a preacher said it, not because the elder said it, but because it's written by the prophets of the New Testament. This particular prophet, written in others. We just got through studying 1 Peter. Matt pointed out on his outline, 1 Peter chapter 2, an encouragement to growth. 2 Peter chapter 1, encouragement to be diligent to grow. That's what's from heaven. Well, you get over here in chapter 4. And he talks about verse 5, speaking truth, each one with his neighbor, telling the truth about people. Is it okay to maybe fudge and misrepresent people? Is it right, or does it make any difference? Here's what's from heaven. Speak truth with one another, for we're members of one another. He goes on to talk about anger, talk about stealing, talk about speech, talk about attitudes. What's from heaven and what's from men? That's why he said, you read this. You read this. And you'll know. And that's why in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, you have a charge. I adjure that this letter be read. See, I want this letter to be read. And that's interesting, isn't it? He said, have this letter read to all the brethren. Why? Because it'll tell you what's from heaven about our attitude, our conduct, our moral choices, whatever it may be. Have it read. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 11, first of all. John is told this. He said, Jesus tells him this. What you see, Revelation is somewhat like a motion picture, the way it's revealed to John. What you see, and what are you to do with it? Write it. Write in a book what you see. Then what do you do with it? Send it to the seven churches. All right, so we turn over to chapter 2. Here's the first one. The angel of the church at Ephesus, write. Now you go down to verse 7. He said, He said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." How did the Spirit say it to the churches? Written. Back in chapter 1, look at chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things that are written in it." So we got baptized. What are we doing wasting our time here? Why do we have these sermons? Why do we have Bible classes on Sunday morning and Wednesday night? It was stated in the prayer that we prayed with Jeff. You know what it is? So we can learn better how to serve God. What's from heaven and what's from men in our attitude and conduct. To better ascertain the will of God. Matt talked about that in the class as well. That's why we have Bible classes and sermons. That's why we stress to people, you need to be a Bible student. Because that's the way you know if it's right or if it's wrong. Now, in application, you can apply that to doctrine. And most of us, I think, would. Can the elders of the church in Humble oversee a church in another city if if they agree to it? It's a small group. They don't have mature, competent leadership. And so they say, "We would like for the elders of the church at Humble," y'all have five men there, "to help us to oversee our work." Is it okay? And how do we answer? Well, we've never done that. That's not a good answer. Well, I don't think it is. That's not a good answer. Somebody else said, "Well, I see nothing wrong with it. I feel it's a good thing." How do you answer? Is it from heaven or is it from men? That's how you answer. Well, how do you know it's from heaven? That's what we're talking about. Scripture. And you can apply it to any other topic of doctrine. What about our worship? How we worship? All across Houston, we have churches that you go to worship, you'll be entertained. A lot more exciting than what we're doing. You might have motorcycles come across the stage and smoke and people jumping up and shouting and singing. Is it from heaven or from men? See, I've never been in a church of Christ that did that. So, what does that prove? That proves you've never been in a church of Christ that did that. That's all that proves. That proof is right or wrong. The question is it from heaven or is it from men? And how do you answer the question? We talk about our family. Is it okay if a husband and wife can't get along, that they've fallen out of love, to divorce and find somebody that'll make them happy? Well, you know the world's response, don't you? I think God wants us to be happy. Does that settle it? I feel in my heart it's okay, as long as you feel right. Or do we say, "Well, I tell you what, let's read Matthew 19:9 and see what it says. Then we can know if it's right or if it's wrong." Who's to have leadership in the family? Look, preacher, we live in the 21st century. I know at one time men were the leaders, but this is the 21st century. Women are CEOs. They run companies. They make a lot of money. Why should men be the leaders? Is it all right for the man to relinquish his role of leadership to the woman? Is it right? Is it okay? Is it from heaven or men? I'll tell you what, when we talk about the family, let's go on a more basic level. Let's form a family composed of two males or two females instead of a male and a female. How about that one? If we can answer the first two questions by I think and I feel, or look what others are doing, you can answer the third one that way. None of those questions are to be answered in that way, but rather by an appeal to what is written. Now we move over to the realm of morals. What does love my neighbor entail? Well, let's get the scripture out. And I see from Luke chapter 10 that love my neighbor involves, if I see my neighbor needing something that I can help him with, I need to do it. Story of the Good Samaritan. I see from Romans chapter 13 it forbids adultery and coveting and stealing and so forth. I know that. That's what it entails. It involves actual service, active work to help my neighbor. What does the scripture say about my morals as regards my speech? About the way I dress, or my children dress, my family dresses, if you're a man, your wife dresses. What's right and what's wrong? Shouldn't we appeal to what's from heaven and the principles that are stated there to answer those questions? Now, we can appeal then when we reach these crossroads, whatever field it may be, and we can make a choice. We say, I'm not sure about this, but my parents always did it. Do people make that kind of choice about religious doctrine? Do they? You know they do. Why are you XXX religion? Well, that's what my mother and daddy were. Do people make those choices about family? Well, I don't want a divorce, but my mother and dad divorced, and they're really good people. About morals, about how you dress and speak, and what kind of entertainment you have. Feelings? Churches? Do churches set the standard for people? What churches do in practice? Or what the majority of people do? You can add to the list. I just listed some things that are from men. Make your own list. You don't have to make a long list about from heaven. You have it right here. Just one item on your list. What does the scripture say? Now, back in the text we began with over there, in Matthew 21:25, these people were, they may not have been obedient, but they were astute. They knew the consequences of this, their answer to this question. And Jesus knew it, and it put them on the spot. He said, is it from heaven or from men? So they said, if they are reasoning, they're thinking, if we say from heaven, he, that's Jesus, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? They're sharp. They got it. So, what do I do to be saved? We can open the scriptures. Here's what the scripture says. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Believe that Jesus is Lord, Acts 2:36, and then repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, which you can read in Acts 2:38. That's from heaven. And if it is from heaven, here's the question that Jesus will ask, or would ask, then why don't you believe it? And believing it is more than, oh yeah, there was the baptism of John. It's why didn't you obey it? Why didn't you submit yourself to it? And we're going to be facing Jesus in judgment. That's going to be the question, all right? If you knew, you read your Bible and you knew that's what it required, why did you believe it? And do what it demanded. That's not just true with obeying the gospel. That's true with living the life of obedience to Jesus Christ. If we know what the Scriptures say, and that the Scriptures teaches us to have a strong attachment to one another and to be involved in fellowship and to support one another and to be active in worship and reading and prayer. And if we don't, would that not be some penetrating words from our Lord? Then why didn't you believe it? We're going to sing the song of encouragement and invitation to stir our minds to self-examination if we can assist anyone in doing what is right. And please let that be known as together we stand and sing.